By His Grace, Krishna Dhan Prabhuji, on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today's topic is from Canto 4, Chapter 6, Verse 40. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Welcome all of you for this Srimad Bhagavatam session. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, text, chapter number 6, entitled as Brahma Satisfies Lord Shiva, text number 40. Satupalabhya gatamatmayonim sura surashar abhivanditangri uthaya chakre shirasa abhivandanam arhattamah kasya yathaiva vishnuho. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ji. Translation. Lord Shiva's lotus feet were worshipped by both demigods and demons, but still, in spite of his exalted position, as soon as he saw that Lord Brahma was there among all other demigods, he immediately stood up and offered him respect by bowing down and touching his lotus feet. Just as Vamanadeva offered his respectful obeisances to Kashyapa Muni. Purport. Kashyapa Muni was in the category of the living entities, but he had a transcendental son, Vamanadeva, who was an incarnation of Vishnu. Thus, although Lord Vishnu is the supreme personality of Godhead, he offered his respects to Kashyapa Muni. Similarly, when Lord Krishna was a child, he used to offer his respectful obeisances to his mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda. Also, at the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna touched the feet of Maharaj Yudhishthir because the king was his elder. It appears then that the personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva and other devotees, in spite of their being situated in exalted positions, instructed by practical example how to offer obeisances to their superiors. Lord Shiva offered his respectful obeisances to Brahma because Brahma was his father, just as Kashyapa Muni was the father of Vamana. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha kalpata rupyascha krupa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 6, entitled as Brahma Satisfies Lord Shiva, and in that we have reached to text 40. Satupalabhya gatamatma yonim sura sureshai abhivanditangri uthaya chakre shirasa abhivandanam arhatamah kasya yathaiva vishnuhu. So in last few verses we have seen that how Daksha Yajna was almost a mess created by some associates of Lord Shiva. And then the demigods are also very much disturbed by this. And they later on found out the reason that Lord Shiva is offended through this. and they approached Lord Brahma, and it's mentioned that Brahma and Lord Vishnu didn't go for the sacrificial ceremony which was conducted by Daksha, because Lord Shiva was not invited there. So through their actions, Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu were showing that they were taking the side of a right person, taking side of Dharma, because Shiva is a transcendental personality and he should not be offended at any cost. And because that sacrificial arena, they knew that Lord Shiva would be offended over there, therefore they choose not to go there. And then when demigods saw all this, they all approached Lord Brahma, and then Brahma told them the root cause, that Lord Shiva had been offended, and let us go to Lord Shiva. Until now, when they are entering into Lord Shiva's abode, and many verses have described the abode of Lord Shiva, how this abode was, where the rivers are flowing, where the forest and the chirping of birds and everything is mentioned. And the transcendental position of Lord Shiva is also explained in previous verses, that how he is also a supreme person, and then how he is also doing meditation or tapasya. And in the previous verse, 39th verse, it said that the sages and demigods headed by Indra, they offered their respectful obeisances unto Shiva with folded hands. And Shiva was dressed in saffron garments and absorbed in trance, thus appearing to be the foremost of all sages. So Shiva was also like appearing like a sage. And then when Shiva, he in his trance position itself, when he saw that Lord Brahma has also appeared along with the demigods here, then because Brahma is father of Lord Shiva, and therefore he immediately stood up and offered his respectful obeisances, and he touched his lotus feet. And the analogy is given, just as Vamanadeva offered his obeisances to Kashyapa Muni. Now Vamanadeva, after his appearance, we know that Vamanadeva is son of Kashyapa and Aditi, and who appeared for the sake of Bali Maharaj, vanquishing demons and establishing Dharma. So when Vamanadeva appeared, he also touched the lotus feet of Kashyapa Muni. Considering Kashyapa, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport opening section, Kashyapa Muni was in the category of living entities, and he had a transcendental son who was Vamanadeva, who was an incarnation of Vishnu. So an incarnation of Vishnu is offering obeisances to a living entity in one sense. But Lord, when he appears in the form of a living entity, because Vamanadeva appeared in the form of a Vamana, a Batuka, a Brahmana boy, and therefore to show respects to a father was mandatory for him, because he was playing the role of a son. And Srila Prabhupada also clarifies this here, that when Krishna, he was a child, he used to also offer respectful obeisances to his mother and father, that is Nanda and Yashodamai. And it's also mentioned here that in the battle of Kurukshetra, before it started, Krishna also touched the feet of Maharaj Yudhishthir, because he was king and he was elder. Now this bowing down, offering respects to seniors, and we also see at some other places in Srimad Bhagavatam that whenever Krishna would meet Pandavas, so he would touch lotus feet of Yudhishthir Maharaj, because Yudhishthir Maharaj was senior in age compared to Lord Krishna, and he would embrace Arjuna, because they were having this friendly relationship. And then Nakula and Sahadev, they would touch Lord Krishna's lotus feet, because they were younger to him. So this is how the Vedic tradition teaches us of offering obeisances and respects to senior persons. And same thing is happening over here. Lord Shiva, and now it's being said over here, that in spite of being worshipped by Sura, Asura Isha, he is worshipped by best of the demigods and demons. Still it is being said, Api Vanditangrihi. In spite of being worshipped by demigods, best of the demigods and demons, in spite of his exalted position. So this proves that Lord Shiva was not having any pride in his heart. We might say that all these incidents, but still in this Daksha's pastime also, Lord Shiva never became arrogant and he didn't show anger. On the contrary, we see all his good qualities coming in front, that he was tolerant and he is respectful to his seniors, like Lord Brahma is touching his lotus feet. And what is happening in front of so many other people, because demigods were also there, and demigods, when they are worshipping, demigods, Lord Shiva is worshipable, and Lord Shiva, in front of demigods, he is offering obeisances to Brahmaji. And this requires a genuine humility to offer obeisances in front of your followers to someone who is superior to you. Because most of the times it happens, if some X person is there and he has got, let us say, thousands of followers who are worshipping this X person. And whenever the other senior person comes, and then there is a tendency in the mind of this X person that, in front of all these, I will not offer obeisances. And maybe in private, I will offer obeisances just to show, maintain the exalted position. But this is not happening over here. Lord Shiva doesn't have any tinge of pride in his heart. Therefore it is being said over here that in spite of being worshipped by demigods and demons both, and in spite of having this exalted position, still as soon as he saw Lord Brahma among all the other demigods, he immediately stood up and offered his respectful obeisances and touched his lotus feet. So actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions a very nice point in his purport that they show by their examples. When Lord Krishna is to offer obeisances to Nandan Krishna, and Lord Shiva and other devotees, in spite of their being situated in the exalted position, instructed by their practical example how to offer obeisances to their superiors. So actually it was a lesson for all others that practically how to offer obeisances. It was a lesson for everyone to follow. And that person who teaches by his own example is called as an acharya. What is the definition of an acharya? Who is acharya? If this question is asked, who is an acharya? Then one Subhashit very nicely gives this definition of acharya. Achinoti hi shastrartham acharya sthapayatyuta swayam acharate yastu sa acharya prachakshate. This person can be called as acharya. Sa acharya prachakshate. That person can be seen in true sense as an acharya, who possesses these three attributes. And what are these three attributes? They are being told over here. The first is, achinoti hi shastrartham. Shastra artham. They have drawn out conclusions from the scriptures after carefully studying them. It's said about sixth Goswamis of Vrindavan, Nana Shastra Vichar Naika Nipunav Tad Dharma Samsthapakav. Nana Shastra Vichar Naika Nipunav. They were expert in drawing conclusions from the scriptures and presenting it to the people. Tad dharma sansthapako. And nipuna means expert in establishing the religious principles based on study of their scriptures. So this is the first quality of an acharya. Achinoti hi shastrartham. He takes out essence from the Vedic scriptures. The second attribute is not only he studies, achinoti shastrartham acharya sthapayatyuta. Not only he studies, but what he does, he instills those values, those conclusions taken out from the scriptures into his followers. Instills in their heart the importance and the value of these conclusions. Acharya, and he instills those values amongst his own disciples. Acharya sthapayatyuta. And then the third is Swayam acharate yastu. And he himself follows in his own life how those principles should be followed. And so that others can, just by looking at him, can understand what the essence of scriptures is. Because to understand essence of scriptures, first of all, there are two Bhagavats, therefore it said. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it is talked about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, it said, Dui bhai rudaye rakshali andhakar, dui bhagavat karen atma sakshatkar. These two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, appeared. Dui bhai rudaye rakshali andhakar. They remove the ignorance from the core of the hearts of the living entities. And how do they do this? Dui bhai rudaye rakshali andhakar, dui bhagavata sange karan sakshatkar. Dui bhagavata, by two bhagavatas, by light of these two bhagavatas, they eradicate the ignorance of the living entities. And what are these two bhagavatas? Eka bhagavata bada, bhagavata shastra. One bhagavat is the book bhagavat, which we read, which we study. A scripture bhagavata. Eka bhagavata bada, bhagavata shastra, ara bhagavata bada, bhakti rasa patra. And other bhagavata is a vyakti bhagavata, a person bhagavata who follows in his life the book bhagavata. Eka bhagavata bada, bhagavata shastra, ara bhagavata bada, bhakti rasa patra. Who is the patra? Who is the container of this bhakti rasa? That person is a vyakti bhagavata. And just by looking at the vyakti bhagavata, other people, just by looking at him can understand what the scriptures are talking about in essence. And therefore, if this question is asked, who is greater, a book bhagavat or a vyakti bhagavat in the life of a sadhaka, then we can understand that a book bhagavat is at its own level, it's also good, but a book bhagavata will not correct us. But a vyakti bhagavata is greater than the book bhagavata, because vyakti bhagavata, by his actions, he is always giving the conclusions of this book bhagavata. And secondly, the vyakti bhagavata can correct us personally. If the vyakti bhagavata, or basically, when the scriptures talk about the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and when we read, let us say, in the book or the scripture that one should chant Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Drudavrata, we should chant the holy names constantly, Kirtaniya Sadari. When we read all this, we are just informed that what one should do. But the scriptures will not take our follow-up. Did you chant the rounds? Did you attend the morning program? But this Vyakti Bhagavata, a person Bhagavata, will take our follow-up that please chant, have you chanted your rounds? And they are constantly behind us. So this Vyakti Bhagavata, therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, is greater to some extent than the book Bhagavata. And these Vyakti Bhagavats, actually, by these three special attributes, they teach and they become an acharya. Achinoti shastrartham acharya sthapayatyuta swayam acharate yastu sa acharya prachakshate. That person can be seen as an acharya. Prachakshate. Chakshu means eyes. Eyes. The function of the eyes is to see. Prachakshate. Prachakshate means prakrushta rupena chakshate. It is being seen. So this person should be seen as an acharya who has these three attributes. And herein, therefore, it said that Srila Prabhupada is writing in the purport that instructed by the practical example how to offer obeisances to their superiors. So this is very important for everyone that we offer our respects, and whatever we are behaving, our behavior should be an example for others to emulate. Because we know that informational values are taught, but transformational values are caught. Informational values are taught means we can teach these values. And just to give an example, that there are there are kids at home, and if we teach the kids always speak truth, let us say this value you want to give to the children, that always speak a truth and never tell a lie to anyone. And let us say if you are into a room and some of your friend is coming into your room and you are into the room and you don't want to meet this person, and you tell your child that tell them that father is not at home, or tell them the mother is not at home. So he might tell him, the father has told me to tell you that father is not at home. It might happen. So they see a contradictory behavior here. You are teaching something different and your achar is something different. So this should not happen. So therefore, what I am saying here is the information values only can be taught. But when you want some transformation in the people, so transformation, the transformative values, they are caught. You will be caught by that. And that's how teaching happens. And therefore, we see in the Vedic culture, when pupils, they would study under an acharya, like Lord Krishna, when he was child, he would study under the ashram of Sandipani Muni. So when they would study under an acharya, they would observe their lifestyle day in and day out. And through that observation itself, they would learn many things. So teaching happens not only by teaching, but just by observing a person also. And values can be caught very nicely. Therefore, there is an importance of this element of association of people who are good in their conduct and behavior. So just by looking at them, a person can learn so many values. And therefore, actually, every person in the Krishna Consciousness Society is a leader. A father is a leader of leader of the family. Mother is also a leader of the family. There are few people who are in the leadership position of a congregation. And in fact, it's being said that every average person throughout his life affects more than thousands of people. So when our life is going to affect thousands of people, when it's our duty to observe these values in our behaviors, so that when people will see, they will see it in harmony of scriptures and our lives. They'll see a harmony in these two. And when people see these two in harmony, scriptural values and what we are propagating, then that becomes an instrument to cause transformation in their hearts. So it's very essential for everyone to walk their talk. And this is being proved here by Lord Shiva. That's what we see. And therefore he can be called as an acharya. And Prabhupada gives so many examples in the purport that Shiva is offering obeisances to Brahma. Lord Krishna used to touch lotus feet of Nandayana Shuddha. And Kashyap Muni, Vamana Dev touched the lotus feet of Kashyap Muni after his appearance. So this is what we see through these great personalities' examples. And we also need to understand the benefits of offering obeisances, pranama. And Srila Prabhupada has given this example that before the start of this Mahabharata war, Krishna touched the lotus feet of Yudhishthira Maharaj because he was king and he was an elderly person. It's very interesting to understand from this Mahabharata incidents, before start of this Kurukshetra war, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he go and bows down to Krupacharya, Dronacharya and Bhishma. All these elders, he goes and bows down. And when he bowed down in front of these stalwart acharyas, great personalities, they were like teachers and elderly figures for the entire Pandavas and Kauravas. Yudhishthir goes and he bowed down in front of all these elder personalities, and actually all these personalities were undefeatable, unformidable enemies, kind of personalities, very strong and could not be defeated. Bhishma was there, Drona was there, Krupa was there. Imagine, they were the teachers. They had been teachers to the Pandavas and Kauravas. So to defeat them would have been impossible. But when Yudhishthira Maharaj went in front of them, he bowed down in front of all and took their blessings. And it's surprising to see everyone gave him the blessings Vijayi Bhava. So when he went and told Dronacharya that please offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, you are our teacher, please give me blessings. And when Dronacharya said Vijay Bhava, then Yudhishthira counter questions, you are fighting against me, and when you are giving this benediction of Vijay Bhava, it means you will be killed on the battlefield. And then he gives the benediction and reveals the secret how to kill him. And then he tells that Drushtadyumna is there, who will kill me? Bhishma also tells him that put Shikhande in front and then kill me. Then I can be killed. So we can understand from this that what is the power of offering obeisances to the person, that you can win the heart of the person. And once you win the heart, then we gather their blessings. So senior personalities, why it is said that we need to offer our obeisances to them is because of their pleasure, and when they are pleased, they will give some blessings by which we will advance in our spiritual path. So therefore it is an important aspect in the life of devotional field to offer our respectful obeisances to people who are advanced than us. And this is being proved by this example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. When he offered obeisances to these great personalities like Krupa, Drona and Bhishma, and in return they gave him the blessings to become victorious in this battle, and in fact the battle against them. So they revealed him the secrets of how to kill each one. So this is what we can understand, that this is the benefit of offering pranams, giving up our ego and surrendering them fully. And Lord Krishna had also revealed, this is also one of the qualities to gather knowledge from the people like of the status of Guru. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So of these three, one is pranipata. Pranipat means surrender. And offering obeisances is one of the symptoms of surrender. Then comes pariprasna, inquiries, and then comes sevaya, then comes service to those personalities. So when we do this, then we receive knowledge. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. Tattvadarshi, they have seen the truth, and they will enable you also to see the truth when we follow this path given by Lord Krishna in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And this is about offering our obeisances to senior persons, and we also need to offer our obeisances to the Lord as well, who is master of everyone. Just by offering pranams to the Lord, all our miseries go away. In the last, the concluding verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, last chapter, in the last verse, It says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkashamanastam Namami Harimparam Pranamo Dukkashamanaha. Shaman means mitigating, to mitigate. Dukkashamana, that which mitigate one's miseries. So Pranamo Dukkashamanastam Namami Harimparam. I offer my respectful obeisances to that Hari. Just by doing pranam to whom all one's miseries can be mitigated, all one's miseries can be eradicated, can be removed. And I offer my respectful obeisances unto such a personality. So therefore we need to offer our obeisances to the Lord as well. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we know that after Ajamila pastime, in third chapter, sixth canto Srimad Bhagavat, that when Yamadutas were confused that how can these four people, Vishnudutas, they can take charge of this sinful personality called Ajamil and take him when he has done so much of sinful activities, so many activities, sinful activities he has done, and he should be, we are like rightful persons to take him to Yamraj and then send him to hell. And there is a confusion, and then to clarify the confusion, Yamaduta, they have to go to their master and they take Vishnuduta. Vishnuduta also go along with them. When they go to Yamraj, now the Yamraj actually offers obeisances to the Lord and then instructs his dutas. The first time he got a chance to preach to his dutas and or the associates about the glories of the Lord, and he tells them in some of the verses, it's mentioned whom you should bring to me and whom you should not bring to him. So there is a verse, Jivanavakti Bhagavat Gunanamadeyam Chetaschana Smaratitat Charanarvindam Krishnayano Namatiya Chira Ekadapi Tan Anyadvam Asata Krut Vishnu Krutyan. So he says that those people who don't do any of these activities, bring them to me. Jivanavakti Bhagavat Gunanamadeyam. Those people whose tongue does not vibrate chanting the glories of the names of the Lord, or does not chant the names of the Lord, bring those to me. Jivanavakti Bhagavad Gunanamadheyam Chetaschana Smaratita Charanarvindam. Those whose hearts, those who in their chitta does not remember the lotus feet of the Lord, bring them to me. And then the third, which is very relevant to the topic which we are discussing, Krishnayano Namati Achira Ekadapi, whose head doesn't bow down to Lord Krishna, Tan Anyadvam Asata Akrut Vishnu Krutan. Bring such people to me. So therefore, Yamraj is saying that those who don't offer their obeisances in front of Krishna, bring them to me. And how important it is to offer respectful obeisances to Krishna and Vaishnavas, it's been depicted by Lord Bhishma as well. It's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, that when Krishna, along with many other great sages, they were approaching Bhishma when he was lying on the bed of arrows, that time he was incapable of offering obeisances to anyone. It was impossible for him to even get up. It was impossible to, even for him to, you know, properly look at them. So he wanted to do. Imagine someone lying on the bed of the arrows, a lot of pain in the body, and not even one finger can go between two arrows. Such a crippled situation, and every inch of body is being pierced by arrows and it's paining. In such situation, Bhagavata mentions that Desha Kala Vibhagavit, he offered his obeisances by just looking in the direction, closing his eyes and mentally offering his obeisances, Desha Kala Vibhagavit. understanding the situation, Desha Kala Patra Vise, according to Desha and Kala. So what situation he was going through, but still he offered his respectful obeisances to Krishna and all the assembled great sages mentally. So this such person can be called as an acharya, that through his example, he is teaching all of us that how important it is to offer obeisances to senior personalities. And we have seen also in the scripture at some other places that when someone has failed to offer respectful obeisances to a senior person, they had to suffer consequences of not offering obeisances. They have been cursed because of this. 8th canto Srimad Bhagavatam describes the story of Gajendra. And when Gajendra's past life is depicted, then we come to understand that in past life, Gajendra was King Indradyumna. And when King Indradyumna, he was actually doing tapasya, and there happens to come sage Agatsya. So when Agatsya Muni came, but Indradyumna, because he was in trance, he didn't notice and he didn't offer any respectful obeisances to the senior Rishi Agatsya, then Agatsya cursed Gajavita. Because he is standing here like an elephant, not being respectful to me, let him become Gaja. Let him become elephant in next life. And immediately he becomes elephant in next life. And we have this pastime of Gajendra. So King Indradyumna, failing to offer respectful obeisances to Agatsya, he had to go through this severe life transformation. He had to become an elephant. He had to pay this price of not being able to offer respectful obeisances to a person at proper times. Parikshit Maharaj also, when first canto Srimad Bhagavatam we listen, when he was in his hunting excursion in a forest, and then Shamik Rishi's pastime is there, and he was being a king, he was in the exalted position, and he thought that he should have been offered respectful obeisances by Shamik Rishi, and Shamik Rishi was also in trance, is in samadhi, and he didn't notice. And then Parikshit becomes angry, and then he put that dead snake. We have known this, and then he got cursed. So these incidences prove to us that when we fail to offer our respectful obeisances to the Lord, when we fail to offer respectful obeisances to seniors, then we call upon curses. But when we fall down at their lotus feet, when we offer our respectful obeisances to Krishna and his devotees, then what happens actually is we gain their blessings, like Yudhishthir Maharaj, who gained n number of blessings before the battle of Kurukshetra. And that's why we have been given this head actually. Even if you read all those prayers by these great personalities, and when this Amrish Maharaj's pastime comes in Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto, that when the use of all his senses is being described, how he used all his senses and each and every limb of his body, the famous verses Savai Manah Krishna Padarvindayo, in that series it comes that Padav Harer Kshitra Padanu Sarpane Shiro Rushikesh Padabhivandane. He used his head, Shir means head, Shiro Rushikesh Pada Abhivandane, Abhivandan. If we see here, the same word is coming in today's verse also, Abhivanditangrihi. So Abhivandan, we have got this head, and the only use of this head in the Krishna conscious perspective is to offer pranam, is offer our obeisances with the help of this head. to the senior personalities and to Lord Krishna. And the benefit which we are going to get by this offering of this respectful obeisances is that Yamadutas will not take us to Yamraj for sending us to hell, and Pranamo Dukkha Shamanas, all our miseries will be mitigated. In fact, we will gather all the blessings of these great personalities, and we will be fulfilling the purpose of this creating this head on our body. Shuro Rishikesh Padabhi Vandane. So when we use this sense organ properly for the purpose for which it's created, it's the fulfillment of that sense. Gopis also talked about this, that the perfection, akshna phalam, that the phalam, the fruit of creation of eyes is to have the darshan of the, or the vision of the Lord. The fruit of our body is to have embraced the devotees of the Lord. Akshno phalam tvadrusha darshanam hi. This comes in Chaitanya Bhagavat as well. So we see at many places in the scripture, Chaitanya Bhagavat you read, Chaitanya Charitamrita you read, Srimad Bhagavat, different places in Srimad Bhagavatam we see that this point is very much emphasized, that offering respectful obeisances, and that's what Lord Shiva is doing here, showing through his own example in front of his followers, in spite of being worshipped by demons and demigods both, in front of them, he is offering his respectful obeisances to Brahma, just to give an example for all of us to emulate, that how important it is to offer respectful obeisances to great personalities, to our seniors, and to Lord Krishna, so that we can perfect our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Nandar Pranam, Agarsha, Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very nicely you had taken a very wonderful note about how to, means why should we pay our respectful obeisances to the seniors, like all the seniors, they are giving us the example that we should pay our respectful obeisances to all the our seniors. So thank you very much, Prabhuji. I have questions, like when we pay obeisances to deities, like any temple or home deities, any temple we go, we pay our obeisances not facing to the deities. We just go in, like, the other side, like a heart beat towards deity, like that. So I went to other temple, like it's not the ISKCON temple, and then when Mataji was asking, why are you not paying obeisances to Krishna, you are facing the other side. So what to say about that?
So we can tell them, actually, even if you go to any of the Vishnu temples, basically, we have the devotees of Lord Vishnu in front of them. Like when you go to Rama temple, like here in Nasik, wherein I live, there is a famous Kalaram temple, Lord Ram's Swayambhu deity. So in front of Lord Ram, you will always find Hanumanji sitting. Even if you go to Tirupati Balaji or any South Indian temple, you will find Garudji standing in front of the Lord. And any ISKCON temple, when you go in front of the deities, you will have Srila Prabhupada. So when we offer our Ashtang pranams or Panchang pranams to the Lord, so that our feet should not go to these stalwart devotees. Actually, we first offer our obeisances to these great devotees present in the temple first. And in fact, anywhere when we enter into the temple, we first knock the door and we first offer obeisances to Vaishnavas. First, the first mantra to be chanted is Vaishnava mantra, Vanta Kalpatur mantra. And then we enter into a temple, then we offer pranams to the senior Vaishnavas, like when we enter ISKCON temple, we offer pranams to Srila Prabhupada, and then we offer pranams to the deities. So we follow this protocol that, you know, when we offer pranams to the respectful person, our legs should not be facing them. And therefore, if you read Nectar of Devotion also, in offense section, Rupa Goswami has enlisted this also as one of the offense to sit in a position by which we might face our legs towards deities or towards these great personalities. So we have to be careful. Forget about offering obeisances. Even while sitting in a temple, we have to take care that our feet are not facing deities. So just to avoid that offense, we can tell them that we are taking care that to not show our feet to these great personalities and the deities, we offer our obeisances in such and such fashion. That's all. I hope this is a satisfactory answer.
Yeah. So there is no other reason for that. Just we should not show our feet towards anybody.
This is the primary reason. This is the primary reason, and all others are like secondary reasons then.
Okay. Because it looks weird, Prabhuji. What we learn from our childhood and now we are following ISKCON, so it's a little bit different.
It's not weird, Mataji. It's not weird. It may look something different, but it's proper. It's proper and it's with proper understanding, actually. What we have done in prior to Krishna consciousness, what we have done is without knowledge, without understanding. And now what we do, it has got a proper philosophical background and we do with proper knowledge. So doing with knowledge is not a weird thing. Doing with knowledge is a proper thing, a proper way. Rather, we can teach them that, and they will also agree that yes, we should not show our feet towards them. And they will also agree to this.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very, very wonderful question, sir. Thank you very much. I have two questions. Just following up on Chamagauri Mataji's question. So we pay obeisances with our side facing Krishna. So I know that we have our left side facing Krishna. And why is it that we should face with our left side? That is my first question. And the second question, when we offer obeisances to any senior sannyasis that, you know, maybe visit our temple or we see them, what is there a pranam mantra that we should chant? Like, let's say we see our Guru Maharaj, we will chant our Guru Maharaj's mantra. But we may not necessarily know every sannyasi's pranam mantra. So then is there a pranam mantra or we just bow our head? Thank you, Prabhuji. These are my questions.
So your first question, yes, we offer our left side. Many times people say that because our heart is situated on the left side, we offer our obeisances in that fashion. So yes, that's also true. And your second question is, yes, whenever we see a senior sannyasi, and if they happens to be your Guru Maharaj, then we have a proper mantra for Guru Maharaj. But when we don't have a proper mantra for these senior sannyasis, then we bow down our head and we chant this mantra of offering to a Vaishnava pranam mantra, you know, vancha kalpata rubhyascha krupa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So we just offer this Vaishnava pranam mantra to these senior personalities then.
So we should chant that mantra, right?
Yes, yes, this mantra needs to be chanted. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Anybody else has any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have one more question. Lord Shiva is wearing the Rudraksha Mala. And he is a Vaishnava. So Vaishnavas are supposed to wear the Tulasi Mala. We wear the Kanti Mala. So why Lord Shiva is wearing the Rudramani? Rudraksha Mala, and also the Lord, followers of Lord Shiva, they wear Rudraksha Mala.
Lord Shiva not only wears Rudraksha Mala, Lord Shiva also wears the mala, which is made up of skulls and bones from the cremation ground. Skulls and bones. So actually, therefore, it's called as Bhutanatha, just to show his mercy to all these Bhutas and Preta. He wears that also as a mala around his neck. And yeah. And in regards to Rudraksha, Vaishnavas, we respect Tulsi plant, and Vaishnava should touch this Tulsi plant. We should be in touch with a Tulsi plant, and therefore we wear this Tulsi mala, showing to the Lord that we have your devotee close to us, and therefore we wear Tulsi mala. And devotees of Lord Shiva might have this protocol, and the name also suggests Rudra. This Rudraksha has also got a spiritual significance, and therefore those who worship Lord Shiva, they wear this Rudraksha. Now Lord Shiva, what he should wear is beyond our territory to understand what he should wear. He is also a topmost Vaishnava, but he is also a compassionate soul. That, you know, we can't dictate him that what he should wear, because he, as I told, he wears the mala of skulls and bones of Smashan Bhumi. So he wears that. So his role is totally different. And then what Yamraj wears is also totally different. You know, we don't know. Yamraj is also Vaishnava, one of the 12 great Mahajans actually. But as a service, he carries this Yamadanda in his hand, and he punishes. So then he also might be wearing a kind of things that are suited for his post. So therefore, these personalities externally may seem to be little weird, little different, but they are Vaishnavas by their internal mood and their actions as well. They do serve the Vaishnavas. Vaishnava Namyatha Shambho is called about Lord Vaishnava, Lord Shiva as well. So they carry out their functions in the service, in the mission of the Lord, whatever has been assigned to them. And we can't say that, you know, just that they are not wearing Tulsi mala, they are not Vaishnavas. In the spiritual world, you know, if you see, spiritual world, no one worships Tulsi, because Tulsi is a manjari there, Vrindadevi. Her manifested form in the material world is Tulsi Devi. So in the spiritual world, there is no Tulsi plant. The Tulsi plant is there only for the people living on this in this material world, for us to worship and remind us of Krishna. So for this great, now when you go to a spiritual world, you will not see that people wearing Kanthi Mala. We will commit offense that, you know, and then how these gopis, they are such senior devotees, they should wear Tulsi Mala. So why should they? Because those senior personalities, gopis, let us say, because they consider Vrinda also as one of the gopis, right? So Tulsi is not worshipped in the spiritual world. Tulsi is worshipped only on the material platform. So these great personalities are beyond the modes of material nature, and therefore they are beyond these rules and regulations which are meant for the living entities on this planet. Like, you know, we say when we are on the road, we have these road signals. So let us say we are on a road, and there is a red signal, and when we stop at the signal, but there is an aircraft which flies above the signal. Because it's above the signal, we can't say to aircraft, you also stop, because it's a red signal. It's wrong to say that, because aircraft has its own signals, it has its own standards of, and it has its own rules of flying. and they don't follow the rules of this mortal, basically aeroplane don't have to follow the road signals, right? They have different signals, air signals maybe, air services. So similarly, the higher living entities, these Shiva and then the gopis are the higher living entities, and for them the rules of this material world don't apply. For them the rules are different. So therefore we can't say that they should also wear Tulsi Mala and they should also do this, they should also do that, they should also chant. Now Srila Prabhupada in one of his lectures, he said that, did you find Arjuna chant Hare Krishna Mantra? Did you see anywhere Yashodamai sitting at one place and chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mantra? So no, see, Yani Yani Hagitani Tadga Bala Charitana Chau, Dadhi Manthane Kale. Whenever she would do the Manthan, the Dahi Manthan, that time she would just sing the glories of the Lord, and that was her devotional service to her son in Vatsalya mood. So we are no one to dictate what they should wear, what they should do at such higher elevated level. So they are in the mission of the Lord and they are elevated. That's all what we can fathom at our own levels. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you very much. Very well said, Prabhuji. So, anybody else has any question? Hare Krishna?
So it seems no one has a question now. So thank you all very much. Thank you very much. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Hare
Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.